Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron, Episode 10, for Friday, January 12th, 2007. Dueling Keynotes. Well, all the eyes and certainly a lot of TWiT has been focused on Macworld this week, but you know, there was a little thing going on down in Las Vegas that some people were paying attention to, and certainly Windows users were, I'm sure, very interested to see what happened at CES in terms of Vista. So who better to ask than Paul Theriot, safely ensconced in his chalet in Massachusetts.
Right. Who better to ask than someone who wasn't there?
Far from the madding crowd. Well, you know, often at CES, that's the case.
Yeah.
If you're there, it's hard to see the forest for the trees.
Right. And I have to say, my experiment has proven very successful.
You've been able
I'm never, ever going to that show again.
No, there's no reason to. You join the massive abstainers, of which I've been for the last 2 years, and loving it.
Yeah.
And even if Macworld hadn't coincided, maybe I would still have gone. But it's just such a zoo.
I would go to Macworld before I would go to CES. I am not young enough. I don't have enough energy. Yeah. My digital camera does not hold enough photos.
Well, and the other thing is it's overwhelming. I mean, because there are so many announcements. Now, Bill Gates gave, at first I thought it might be his last keynote, but he said at the keynote he's going to do one more as chairman of Microsoft. And then he said, if you want me to come back, I will, but it'll be talking about infectious diseases instead of Microsoft.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, isn't he?
That was a good joke to start off with.
Well, I have a possible replacement for Bill Gates for CES.
And who would that be?
Steve Jobs.
Let's face it, he gave
a great CES keynote this week.
When you watch Bill and you watch Steve, actually when you watch anybody and you watch Steve, he is really good at presenting, especially when he's enthusiastic. I mean, he's had some down performances. Last couple of keynotes weren't so good, but this one, he was so inspired. He was very relaxed. And sincere, you know, at the very end, and I'm sure the news media really doesn't cover it, but he thanked not only the employees who worked so hard on the iPhone, but he thanked their families. And it was almost a teary moment where he said, you know, we couldn't do it without you. And we know that it's a real sacrifice on your part and you make such a difference to us. And I think his family must have been there because it sure seemed heartfelt.
Right.
It was really not something you'd see Bill Gates do ever.
Steve Jobs does a much better job of appearing to be a human being.
Yeah, appearing might be.
Seriously.
That might be the appropriate word, yeah.
Well, I mean, no, I don't mean that in a sarcastic way, but I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, honestly, the persona that he projects is just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because he's energetic and he's excited about what he's selling, basically.
Right.
And, you know, Bill Gates, more of a kind of a droning monotone.
But let's face it. I mean, in both cases, we're much, you know, it's presentation's nice, but we're really interested in content. And
right.
And so, as you probably have, Bill Gates' keynote online. In fact, I was watching it live online.
I had a great exchange, by the way. This happened. This must have been Sunday night. I was watching TV with my wife, and I had a laptop open next to me, which I actually don't know. I know. I don't normally do that, and I think it was because CES was. Oh, I know why. Because CES was going on,
right?
And I couldn't post anything until the moment that Gates went on stage.
Precisely.
And somebody emailed me, and he said, "Hey."
Because you were under NDA. In other words,
right?
You had embargoes that you couldn't. So there are things you couldn't talk about until
the moment he went on stage.
Oh, how interesting.
So somebody actually IM'd me and said, hey, by the way, Gates is taking stage. And I said, fantastic.
Push the button. Close the laptop.
I said, fantastic. I'm watching TV.
Back to Grey's Anatomy.
Says, I said, great. There's something I want to watch on TV. And he said, oh, is Gates on TV? And I said, No, I said Something I Want to Watch is on TV. But
the reviews on Bill's performance were very lukewarm. Just as Apple's announcements were revolutionary, Bill's were mm-hmm. very much evolutionary.
And numerous, you know,
yeah.
It's like a shock and awe kind of thing. I mean, because
Steve
over,
only
you can't
about
remember
two things. I mean, they were really
right. You walked out of there and you said iPhone, IT, Apple TV, right?
Right?
I know exactly what he talked about. You walk out of the Gates keynote and it's like, wow, he threw a lot of numbers at me there. What's right. going on?
Well, do you have some notes? Because I'd love it if you'd synopsize
I do.
For us. All right.
Well, synopsize is going to be a big book because, like I said, there's a lot of stuff. So, I mean, we can go through this one at a time. And he threw out all kinds of numbers, too. You know, 2 billion digital photos were taken last year. 65% of homes are using digital cameras now, presumably in the United States. Higher, you know, broadband penetration. Over 40% of U.S. homes now have multiple PCs. Young people, what he called the new generation.
I'm already glazing over. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm reaching for the wine, too, so don't worry about it. So I'll just stop talking numbers. Who cares? So
it's fascinating. It's just hard to absorb.
No, but that's what it is. It's like this rapid fire, you know, here's a bunch of statistics. And, you know, the funny thing about statistics is you can make it look like you're doing great,
right.
You know, depending on how you, you know, present them and so forth.
Was the premise that it's a digital era, but I mean, he's been saying
digital
that.
Decade,
he's
yeah.
been saying that. Yeah. He's been saying that for a decade.
For a decade. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's still the digital decade. Apparently.
Oh, good news. All right.
Yeah. So this year the theme was connected experiences. And, you know, I have to feel bad for the people at Microsoft who need to come up with these ideas because clearly somebody is responsible for this, right? You know, all the product groups come and they throw them the 35 different things they're going to show at CES, and they say, make this look like it's part of a concerted single marketing campaign, please.
You know,
and yeah. So, you know, whoever did that, good job. Connected experiences. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, you know, we could kind of run down through some of the stuff they talked about. I mean, obviously Windows Vista took center stage at CES. It's the premier consumer technology show of the year.
You bet.
You know, biggest consumer technology show, I believe, in the world.
Yep.
So Windows Vista is obviously a big deal. And they showed off some of those Windows Ultimate extras that we've been talking about, including a cool one I had not heard of called Group Shot, which basically takes two photographs and allows you to, you know, maybe you take a picture of we actually just did this on Christmas Eve. We took a family photo, all the, you know, the grandparents mm-hmm. and the kids mm-hmm. and everybody were all together. And you take two or three of them because you know that none of them are going to come out perfectly.
Right.
And what this allows you to do is take the best parts of each one of those kinds of pictures, combine them into a new picture that takes only the best parts of all the pictures. So, you know, no one is blinking and nobody is not smiling or whatever it is. And that was one of the rare things I would say during the keynote that got, you know, sort of legitimate, enthusiastic applause. It's a very cool feature. Motion.
Can we
desktop,
download these now, or are we?
No. I asked about this ahead of time because I had talked to Microsoft a few times about what they were going to speak about at CES, and what they told me about Ultimate Extras was we won't be able to get this until January 29th.
So when it comes out and you install Vista, mm-hmm. There is if you have Ultimate, there's a little checkbox that says check for Ultimate Extras.
Right.
And we've been doing that now for months and nothing happens. So now something will happen on January 29th.
Yeah, that's
good.
Plan.
That's fine. Makes sense.
Whatever. The other extras aren't worth really talking about too much. I mean,
you said Motion Desktop. I'm
Motion Desktop.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the more I see Motion Desktop, the more I think that it will ultimately prove to be sort of annoying, don't you think? I mean, stuff moving around in the background. It's like my kids running around in the den when I'm trying to watch TV. You know, eventually the foot has to come out, you know. But, okay, well, we'll see. I think it's a neat thing to add in there. I this is one of those things maybe just for me. I'll play with it. But
right.
There's a BitLocker tool, which I think will actually be very beneficial for businesses because this is the feature that allows you to encrypt your boot disk.
Right.
And it keeps it encrypted from, you know, during the boot process and while it's running, et cetera. So. One of the problems with it is it's extremely hard to configure. So what this does is it's actually like a little wizard and it will configure the disk properly for BitLocker because it requires a very specific partitioning scheme. And it's one of those things I complained about when I reviewed Vista where I said, you know, this is a great feature, but why is it so hard to set up? So this will actually simplify that process.
Oh, good.
That's nice.
Good.
And then of course we also know about the Hold'em game that,
right,
the poker.
Everybody would. That seemed like to some reports that was the highlight of
I guess so.
Of CES, yeah, that's, and
that's
keynote.
That's too bad. So,
but I'm not kidding. You know, I mean, I think I read that in headlines. You know,
okay.
Vista now has Hold'em.
It wasn't the new origami device that
No, that's another one. So the UMPC,
they really glossed over that one.
UMPC is alive and well, maybe not well, but.
Actually, right. So, no, he said that, you know, I have a quote. We'll get to that quote because that was actually about plays for
Let's
sure.
Let's do this in order because if I start making you jump around, we're never going to get through this.
Yeah, don't riff.
No, no riffing.
So
how about those airplane peanuts, huh? All right.
Exactly.
So we're talking about Ultimate Extras and the BitLocker tool.
Well, and Vista and all the Vista consumer stuff. We don't need to get into that. I think we all know, you know, Photo Gallery, Movie Maker. You know, we get it.
It was a demo of Vista, stuff we've already seen in most cases.
Yeah, primarily, yeah. They talked about the Windows ecosystem, which I thought was interesting because there's a lot of arguments now that the Windows ecosystem is not a business model that translates to other markets. And, you know, the Zune and the iPod are an example of that.
Right.
And, you know, they're sort of out there saying, hey, you know, by the way, this thing still exists. And I think there's some legitimate benefit there. And one of the examples of that were those Vista inspired PC designs that they showed off.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a nice video of that. On my website, I have still images from that video that show off all, you know, it has the ultra mobile PCs, the laptops,
some of the
PCs and,
we were starting to see that. What is that called? That with the LED, LCD on the front.
The OLED style.
What is kind that called?
Oh, you mean the sideshow auxiliary display.
Yeah.
That stuff's neat. And I think what's especially neat about it, and I think we talked about this last week, is the way that some of those features are being combined now. You know, you don't just buy a tablet PC. You can buy a tablet PC that does Media Center
and
has this aux display on it or whatever. Right. So. I think that's cool. And
he showed that great HP touchscreen that you and I were talking about.
Yes, which is, you know, it's bulky and it's big and everything. But you
it's
know,
cool.
For HP, it is cool looking, yeah. And it's got a nice big screen. And
and it's a touchscreen, so that's
good. Can you imagine being a college student today and having a machine like that in your dorm room? You'd be a hero or a loser, depending on how you look at it. So, no, but that's cool stuff. So, that's good.
Did you know, just out of curiosity, did you know about it when we talked about it last week, but you were NDA'd on it, or?
On what?
On the HP. On what? He's already denied.
On the HP?
I know nothing.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I can't remember what I had for dinner last night. So
there are some things that you knew about that you couldn't talk about, but now we can talk about it all.
Oh, yeah, I saw all of this stuff ahead of time.
That's
so
what I saw
the HP, I saw the Sony, I saw the home server stuff. Okay. Yeah.
So
that was a nice. I normally don't get that for CS, and the reason I got that this time was because I wasn't going. And
another reason not to go.
Tell me about it. I mean, so you know, this worked out nicely. So
what do you think about this Medion? This is the ultra mobile PC.
This is the ultra mobile PC. I think absolutely nothing of these devices, and I'm serious. I have never been. You know what? I think it was. I think you basically can be disappointed only so many times. And there were things like the portable media centers. They had those media center extenders that never really went anywhere. Right. Although, you know, the Xbox 360 obviously has that.
I remember a CES where there was a house. It was like Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz, a house that had landed in the parking lot, and all these Stepford people in the house using their portable tablet PCs to control the TV and stuff. I mean, this stuff just goes away. Microsoft makes a big deal about it.
Right.
And then it never goes anywhere.
So I find it interesting. You know, I'd have to look through the transcript. I don't believe he actually said the phrase ultra mobile PC during his keynote. I could be wrong there, but they kind of flashed through the Medion device. And interestingly, that OQO device, which is not technically an ultra mobile PC, is sort of being lumped into that.
Oh, interesting. Because that's the one that's been around for the longest. I mean, that thing's
right.
Been
and then years. that was an example of a machine where I saw that. And I thought, man, this is actually really cool. Except that, you know, that's not how I use a computer. And how would I use this? What am I going to carry a keyboard around with me?
It was a high cool factor and no practical use for it whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whatever.
So Sony's going to make this Medion, right?
Does Sony make the Medion?
Well, maybe not.
I don't know who makes it, actually. I'm not sure. Sony's making a Media Center PC. There was a high-end PC, a Media Center PC they showed there that I had not seen that exact model before, but it had a screen built into the front, which I think is kind of interesting. And you're going to see stuff like that on servers as well in the future because, you know, why attach a display to, say, a rack-mounted server if you need to do local debugging or something? They can have little screens right on there. It's kind of a neat idea. So I thought that stuff was great. And I really believe it's just from sort of the utility and just pre-usability standpoint, you know, the market that there is from Microsoft Windows compatible, you know, PCs and peripherals and all that stuff is definitely an advantage. And I think this time finally they convinced some people to make nice looking machines, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, which is a first. Although, did you see that Dell right in the middle of that video? All those cool machines, and then right in the middle, there was like this Dell laptop that was like, wah, wah,
There's still room for the beige box in the Windows world.
Like, guys, yeah, didn't you get the memo? You know, it was like a laptop. It's just like a, you know, blech.
Yeah,
but, most of them were cool. Most of them were cool, so.
I'm still liking the Touch Smart. I might actually, well,
really?
I won't buy one.
Yikes, you almost completed that sentence.
No. Stop me. But he did say 1.5 million hardware devices compatible at Vista launch. That's the kind of power Microsoft brings to the table.
Right. Yeah, a significant. They wouldn't tell me exact numbers, but you know, they called it a significant number more than at any previous Windows launch, and a significant percentage more, even than Windows XP with compatibility with existing hardware. They actually said that this time was the best ever. You know, for a new Windows version. So
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Of course, they had 5 years to do it.
Yeah, and it's not going to help the guy like me who has a scanner that still doesn't work with Windows Vista, but, you know, yeah.
So that Medion looked like it was running Vista, wasn't it?
They're all running Vista,
So even the UMPCs run Vista.
Right.
They do Aero?
There's a code name. Yes, they do. And they're called, they sort of call them internally Vistagami after the origami, you know, code name for the first
one. It's like the soybeans you get at a sushi joint. I'll have an order of Vistagamis with those.
I think it's the stomach ailment you get when you eat bad sushi.
That's it.
I have Vistagami.
Vistagami. Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway, I don't know.
Okay.
I think the big star was actually Windows Home Server. And that might be just because I love it so much, and this is another one of those things I'd heard about earlier.
Tell me about it.
I was itching to talk about. You know, when you think about a home server product, most people think digital media, you know, streaming and sharing and all that stuff, and it does that. But the cool thing about Windows Home Server is actually not digital media sharing, because that's just sort of, you know, Windows just kind of has that, so that's built in, but that's not really the big deal. You know, the big deal is actually storage. And it does in two ways. One is just pure storage. So you have a home server, and this can be something that you built yourself and you added the software to, because they will be selling it that way, which I think is nice. Or you can buy a home server, you know, from a company like HP, and they're making really cool looking servers that have hot swappable hard drives and all that stuff. And you can add hard drives to it however you want. So you can plug in, you know, internal hard drives, external hard drives, whatever. And what the server does is it just aggregates a giant pool of storage internally, so there's no sense of, you know, drive letters going on.
I like that. That's a good way.
Yeah. Also, there's no, you don't actually go to the machine, plug in a display, plug in a keyboard and the mouse, and use it. In fact, you can't do that. There's no facility for that. It's only remote access. And they have a web interface. They also have a client you can download where you actually can manage the, you know, the server itself. So that sense of, you know, never-ending storage, or, you know, ever-growing storage is part of it, and that's kind of a cool thing. But the other part is it moves the concept of backup from the PC level to the home level. So if you have like Windows Vista has PC backup facilities built into it, but they can only backup that PC, right? You know, you just backup the PC you own, that's it. With Windows Home Server, it can actually backup all of the machines on your network, as long as they're running Windows XP or Vista, automatically. It does an image-based backup. It uses, I don't know how detailed you want to get into this, but it uses a Microsoft server technology called single instancing, where if every PC in your house, you have five PCs, and they all have a file called foo.dll, and they're all exactly the same version, same file size, etc., it will store only one copy of that up on the backup. And massive reductions in the amount of size it requires to store all these backups. So you get the image backups, which means full system restore, and you can go up to a PC, launch the client, say, I want to restore the system. It will say, do you want to restore just this hard drive? Do you want to restore the entire system?
I love this.
What date do you want to go back to? Really neat. You can actually go into the backups and navigate them through Explorer and pull out just individual files. So if you want to grab a file from a certain date and time, you can do that. So That stuff is very, very cool. And then from that central console that you get, it will also give you a reading of the health of all of your systems on your network. So you actually get like this green badge that says all of the PCs on your network are fine. That means they're up to date with security updates. Everything's up and running. Your antivirus is running, et cetera,
I love this. Who's making these?
They only announced HP at the show, but they were saying that by WinHack, April and May this year, they have all kinds of PC makers are coming on board. So I would expect all the usual suspects.
I mean, I do this manually with a network attached storage, and it's got, you know, it's running Linux in it, but it doesn't have anywhere near the automated features.
Oh, I back up a terabyte of data every week.
Yep.
I have 2 terabyte storage devices I use. One is at a different house, so that
very smart. You're smart.
If something burns down or something, and it's a pain in the butt because you have to do it manually now. Right. There's nothing automatic, so this looks really exciting to me. And I'm real. Oh, and the other thing it adds is remote access. So if you use something like Go to My PC today, this will give you that. What Microsoft's going to give you a free domain name through Windows Live Domains. You can hit your server. You can hit any PC in your house remotely. From anywhere, you have an internet connection.
This is great.
Yeah. So,
what is this called again? Windows?
Windows Home Server.
Home Server.
Yep.
I can't wait to get one.
I know. I can't either. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait because
nobody's making it.
It's not coming out until the end of 2007. Right. So.
Oh, it's that long?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too
Christmas,
bad.
You know. Yeah. This is just like the first time I saw Media Center. I remember CS 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I guess. They showed off what they called Freestyle at the time. And I said, thank you for making everything I own today suck. You know, thanks a lot.
Yeah, we've invested a lot of money in terabyte servers that we're just going to replace with a Windows Home Server product.
Maybe. I can't wait.
We'll have to see. But that sounds like
it. Yeah.
You know, Apple did, you know, it's funny because Apple, besides the two things Steve talked about, there were a couple of things that he didn't talk about that Apple announced, including a new, you know, Apple's moving to 802.11n across.
Yeah, right, the N router, yeah.
And the N router, while it doesn't have that same ease of use, does have a USB port that you can connect a USB hard drive to and use as network attached storage.
I actually, it's funny, I almost ordered one of those the second I found out about it. I had my finger right on the submit thing, and I decided to wait a bit because wanted to. Yeah. Well, I want to price N routers. I'm not even sure that's a good deal.
$179 is a little pricey, as usual with Apple. You know, they charge more.
Yeah.
It has printer sharing built in, and it has USB hard drive sharing, which I think is kind of neat. But it doesn't sound, now that you've told me what Windows Home Server is going to do, it's nowhere near as seamless as Windows Home Server is.
The funny thing about this networking stuff is when you look at streaming digital media, you know, Microsoft a while back had decided that 802.11a was the way to go because, you know, so few things used it. That if you could have an A network in addition to G, you could sort of do media center stuff and use your normal computers on G. And I always thought that was kind of interesting, but it seems like N is maybe the way to go.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, it's fast and it's it has the longer throw than A. That's one of the problems with A is it's really quite a short distance. So,
Right.
I guess it's always better if you can find one router and one technology that works than forcing your customers to buy two. I, for a long time, thought that would be the way the premium home theater wireless would go, is go A, because it's different. It's even a different frequency, so you don't get any of the interference.
Right. And that's what you're looking for when you're streaming, you know, video or whatever.
Right. Well, you can't drop one bit of it. I suspect most people are going to end up wiring to send high def video around.
I can't imagine how you would do it otherwise.
People will be dissatisfied by what wireless does. And
right.
You know, you got a big screen and you got a high def content. You don't want any stuttering or dropout or anything. That's not going to work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I like the home server product. Apple does not have really anything to contend with that. That's for sure.
No, and you know, you must run into this too. I mean, my big example of this kind of problem is I used to work in banking. So if I see a movie that involves a bank robbery, I always get really upset because they always get it wrong. You know, that's not how the vault works. You know, you that kind of thing. It drives me crazy. So this morning I woke up and I read the Boston Globe, and there was an article in there where they compared Apple's Apple TV to Windows Home Server, and they said, "Well, now Apple has a home server too."
That's not what that is at all.
It's the opposite of a home server.
Right.
It is It is a client.
In fact, as far as you can, as I can tell, there's no way to directly copy files to it. You have to sync it.
Right. Right.
So it's exact opposite. You're right.
Yeah, I get infuriated by things like that, but.
Well, the mainstream, you know, it's good for us. As long as the mainstream media does a lousy job of covering technology, we'll right. always have a job, Paul.
There you go.
That's the good news.
That's a good glass half full analysis of that. Okay. I'll try to keep that in mind. That's true. You're right. No, you're right.
Well, although right. in the Windows world and at CES this week, there were announcements to compete with Apple TV, including, I think, the Sling Catcher, which might end up being not only $100 less, but much more capable than what Apple's doing.
I need to find this quote because, you know, Dave Calton, the guy from the Zune team, one of the things he's been doing lately is blogging about some of the numbers that come out of Apple and what they mean. Because, you know, he does market research for Microsoft. So him talking about this stuff publicly is very interesting
what
to me.
What they call competitive research.
Exactly.
Very important in a big business.
He had a beautiful quote about the Apple TV. I have to find this. It'll just take me 1 second. I'm sorry. I should have pulled this up earlier. But he said that, you know, he said the Apple TV is a $300 device that lets you watch TV in your living room.
Good point. You know? There is a little more to it than that.
No,
but
I know.
That is a good way to put it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Although Microsoft's doing did exactly the same thing with Media Extender. That's the point of Media Extender, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and also
that's a great quote.
You know, the Xbox 360 too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, an Xbox 360 for about $100 more basically does what that. We're getting a little off topic here, but you know, it does what the Apple TV does, but also plays video games and. You know, you can access the downloadable content directly from the device, which I think is kind of interesting.
Right, right. No, and somebody told me, now correct me if I'm wrong, that you can add a hard drive to the Xbox 360 just by plugging something into the USB port and it will see it. Because I've complained about the ridiculous capacity. Is that true?
Sort of. Not in the way you want it to be true. So the current version has a detachable 20 gigabyte hard drive,
right.
which is woefully inadequate
right.
for storing
a couple
HD
of
movies.
High def movies. Yeah.
There will be bigger hard drives coming down the pipe. But you can plug in a USB keyboard, a hard drive to the Xbox. But what it will do is just allow you to access any media that may be on there. You can't use it for storing.
You can't copy media over. See, I'd like to save some of the, I mean, I'm buying a lot of stuff now on the, Xbox
exactly.
Live, and I'd like to save it somewhere.
I don't understand why they don't just do that. That would solve the problem immediately.
Well, you know, we're getting back to this content protection stuff.
DRM,
it may well be that the Hollywood won't let them.
Hollywood is, it's almost like they're trying to screw us, Leo.
Yeah.
I'm getting this weird vibe. Anyway.
So one of the things people had been talking, I don't know where you get that. One of the things... but by the way, we're going to have the Hollywood police at your door any moment now just for saying that.
Sure.
One of the things that they did show a little bit was the new, is it a new Xbox 360 or new capabilities of the existing Xbox 360? I wasn't clear.
Right.
On that.
Yeah, it wasn't clear from the keynote, but it is in fact a new Xbox 360 that's coming down the pike. That's another thing that will probably not happen until late this year.
Good, because I just bought one.
I
have to say I was sweating a little bit.
Right. So what they told me ahead of time, I haven't seen one in person yet, but basically what it is an Xbox with IPTV capabilities and a larger hard drive. That's part of it.
Now, when you say IPTV capabilities, what do you mean?
Yeah, nobody knows what I mean because no one's heard of this. I had to ask.
In a way, I would say you've got IPTV if I can download Studio 60 and watch it.
Yeah.
Isn't that IPTV? But maybe not. What is IPTV?
No,
is it streaming?
So,
is it live TV?
Well, if you think of any TV that comes in your house today, basically in the United States, is not IPTV. It's you know either standard definition right. or high definition TV. You might get a satellite or cable, whatever. IPTV is literally TV content delivered over the internet,
live,
like
real time.
Exactly. Now, my understanding is that you cannot, and I could be wrong, but I don't believe that any major carriers in the United States actually offer IPTV. Now, as soon as I say this,
there's probably somebody in Pennsylvania offering
could,
43
yeah.
subscribers, but it requires could, a lot
listen,
of bandwidth.
Right. Now, this is a big deal in Europe, and Microsoft has actually been working on its IPTV platform for years. And again, like I said, before CES, I was briefed about this, and I'm listening to this, and I had to interrupt the guy. I said, listen, I have never heard of this in my life. Are you sure? You know, he said, yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. You know, I said, okay. So, you know, the missing piece, the thing that they really didn't discuss at CES is that you can't just get this thing and have TV.
You need a set-top box is what you need.
Well, no, it is the set-top box, but you need a service provider.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's just too. It's a cell phone without Verizon or whatever.
This has been a constant frustration for Microsoft. They've been trying to sell set-top boxes to the cable industry for years, but they're so premium priced because they have actual processors in them and real big operating systems that the cable companies say, no, you know, I'm going to Scientific Atlanta. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take that text, but you know, the DOS-based,
the moronic little interface. Yeah,
yeah.
Is this Microsoft's attempt to kind of end around it and say, "Well, we'll make the box. We just, you know, if you want to be a provider."
No, actually, what we're seeing is the first of many announcements. So, over the course of the year, what I think we're going to see is service providers in the U.S. and in Europe and around the world come online and say, "We're going to support this thing." And really, what this is a push to make the Xbox even more of an all-around, all-in-one center of the digital hub, you know, digital device in your living room.
I just wish it were quieter. If it were quieter, I'd be glad to do that. I love the functionality. It looks great on my HDTV, but the thing whines like a you know, I mean, it's just really driving me crazy.
This is only speculation, but given that this new Xbox 360 won't be coming out until the end of the year, it's actually pretty likely that it will also be the quieter version that we've been talking about. Because that version of the Xbox 360 is also coming out at the end of the year. And for them to be the same thing is maybe pretty obvious. So that's probably what it's going to be.
So what will this new Xbox 360 have in it? I mean, besides this IPTV capability, a bigger hard drive, will it be any processors? Same gaming platform.
Yeah, it will have additional circuitry for IPTV and it will have a bigger hard drive. That's literally it.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I guess, you know, I can live with the one I bought for a year and move it into somewhere else and get the quieter one.
There you go. I think a lot of people are going to be getting the quieter one, you know, that already had one, you know.
Yeah.
So they'll have a lot of good second unit sales to existing customers.
Yeah.
I bet.
All right. So did they mention the Zune at all?
Barely. So that gets us to the comedy part of the CES keynote.
So they
brought out Robbie Bach, you know, who's in charge of their Xbox and actually Windows Mobile and Zune and actually everything that I think what they call them connected devices or connected entertainment, I guess, is what they
stuff
all
besides
these things get
the operating system.
Right. Now, he talked about, I found this so odd, you know, he actually started off talking about Windows Media Player and MTV Urge, that service that they launched in early 2006.
It looks curiously like the Zune service.
Yeah, and it, you know, these guys have probably sold 16 songs. I mean, they really haven't made a big impression. And he actually said Play For Sure.
No.
Which is the... Yeah,
that's
this
the
is
one
beautiful.
That they've deprecated with the Zune. I don't understand.
He said that Plays For Sure is alive and well and will continue to grow. Jeez.
That's just...
He said it with a... And then he didn't burst out laughing like I would have.
That's just cuckoo.
That's why I don't work at Microsoft.
You're right about the comedy. You're right about the comedy.
I thought that was insane. So he did say that the Zune was the second part of Microsoft's music strategy.
the back alley that has nothing to do with the first part I just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. He said they were very excited about it and committed to the product. And he said, and by the way, I found this interesting because Gates actually semi-contradicted this later, but he said that Microsoft was on track to meet its goal of selling 1 million Zunes by mid 2007.
Really?
Gates, in a separate interview after the CES keynote, said actually that it was possible they would not make that goal, which I thought was a very early indication that they probably won't.
Gates, it's interesting because I think all along Bill has been kind of downplaying the Zune and underselling it, maybe even kind of lowering expectations.
Right. Well, I keep waiting for these guys to. Just say, you know, so we were just kidding. You know, sorry about that. But, you know, they're in it for the long haul. There's no doubt about it.
Well, but when they start talking about Urge and Plays For Sure.
I know.
It makes me, if I had a Zune, I'd start to think, oh, boy, you know, there's a fork in the road here. And one of these guys is going to continue down the road and the other one's going to drop off the face of the earth.
Right.
Which one's going to live?
They have, you know, Microsoft's making a big deal about ecosystem and the only part of this that has an ecosystem is Plays For Sure. So,
right.
You know, they do have a lot of, you know, they have a lot of partners. They're service partners, hardware partners, et cetera. So I think it would have looked bad if they came up and talked up Zune and never mentioned Place for Sure. But, you know, I mean, Place for Sure. Wow.
So, I just don't get it. I mean, is Place for Sure that big of a flop from the point of view of the user? Doesn't it work?
You know, it does work, actually. And I have to be fair here. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 Place for Sure devices I've been meaning to, you know, to review for a long time. And I think with all this Vista stuff lately, it's been hard catching up. But, you know, some of these are actually cool little devices. And
a lot of them are. I mean, some of the most innovative stuff is, you know, the Sansa and the iRiver and all these other kind of third party.
Yeah, actually, those are among those devices that I have here. So I think the sad thing is, you know, they don't sell very well. And that's just the truth. You know, they're just not doing well.
So Microsoft didn't announce it was going to get in the cell phone market by any chance, did it?
No, actually, it announced that they had looked into the cell phone market. Well, they're already in the cell phone market, but they looked at
their OS, I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah, Windows Mobile is definitely, you know, they sell millions of those a year.
Yeah.
It's on my phone as well now. But, you know, they said that for Zune, they looked at the Zune mobile phone and decided that it just didn't make sense.
Well, now I think they're thanking their lucky stars, because I have to say that
It would have looked silly.
It would have looked silly next to what Apple's done. I mean, there's no way they could have duplicated the there's just the wow factor of the iPhone.
Right, right. So, all right, so there's that. And let's see.
IPTV, you know, it's funny. Zune, Place for Sure is still alive. And I imagine at CES there are a number of Place for Sure devices, quite a few, probably a lot more than there are the Zune.
Oh, if it's like past CESs, they probably have a showcase that, hundreds.
So, boy, if I'm a Zune, again, I got to say this. If you're thinking about buying a Zune, it really doesn't bode well for Zune if Microsoft's going to back both horses.
Right.
At some point, they're gonna have to cut one off.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah. Or can they keep both lives simultaneously? And is it in their interest?
I don't get it. I mean, this is not a good comparison, but, you know, Ford makes Ford cars and they make Mercury cars, and the Mercury cars look an awful lot like the Ford cars.
Yeah, they use the same gasoline.
There you go. Right. So that doesn't make sense to me. This is completely different. I mean, this is crazy. This will be like GM coming out with, we just solved the oil crisis, but we're going to still keep selling our regular cars too.
It's not even that, because there's no improvement. There's no functionality that you find in the Zune that you can't find in a Place for Sure device, the Creative Zen or whatever. I mean,
The software is not good.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. It's baffling. Speaking of Ford, they announced they're going to support Ford's, right?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Ford's so there's support a, them or something.
Right. So Microsoft worked with Ford on a platform called Sync, which is hands-free, you know, Bluetooth based scheme.
If you're going to go down the tubes, go down the tubes with an American company that's going down the tubes too.
Well, this is, exactly.
Jeez,
well, this is another. This is the fruition of that excellent Microsoft joke. You know, what if Microsoft built cars, you know?
Yes.
And you can imagine all the vicious blue screen jokes and so forth. So this looks kind of interesting, I guess, in the sense that you could have a device in your pocket and it's wirelessly, you know, communicating with you through with the display and the stereo of the car and, you know, whatever. Okay. Exactly.
You know, I want my Bluetooth phone to automatically turn hands free when I get in the car, but it can do that in a lot of cars. The Prius, a lot of cars will do that.
Sure.
So you're saying that the one thing that caught my eyes when the Ford pulls into the garage, it starts syncing the music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've always wondered about this. I mean, to me, you know, I have an iPod out in my car in the glove box, and it connects with a cable to my stereo, which is iPod enabled, and so forth. I like
80% of the new models on the
market. I have an older car, so I had to go buy an Alpine stereo that does this, but it works well. I mean, there's nothing like having that in the car, except when you have to unplug it and bring it in the house. And why can't I sync this thing wirelessly? I mean, I know my neighbors can use my wireless network. How come my car?
Okay. I'll give you that. That's good.
So, just a thought.
It has voice control and a bunch of other stuff.
Right. Okay. That's neat. We'll see. Handful of cars by the end of the year, more cars next year. You know, it's another one of those things. You know, it's just months and months away. We'll see what happens.
Right.
They talked about mobility for approximately 6 seconds, which I thought was kind of interesting.
This is where Microsoft, they have so many products. It's hard for them to focus on any. I mean, they just.
I know.
In one 2 hour speech, it just can't. There's too much stuff.
This was one of the, you know, I don't usually do this. Maybe I should do this more often, but Robbie Box said, this is the exact quote. He said, "We outsell BlackBerry in the market."
Wow.
I said, that's interesting. I wonder if that's true. So I looked it up. And actually, it is true, but it's true in the sense that 7 is a bigger number than 6.7. And, you know, technically, they do, but it's actually very close.
They match them. Let's say they match them.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, whatever. So that was literally all he said about mobility.
That's actually a good spot to be in, because I think that's the one area Apple's iPhone will not compete very strongly, is the enterprise-based mobile phones. I mean, it's not an enterprise phone. It's an end-user phone.
No, it's absolutely not. And then, yeah.
I mean, if you're a BlackBerry user, you're going to keep using your BlackBerry. I don't see any reason to keep
it. I missed it if there was an Outlook Exchange Sync thing going on there. I don't think there was.
They've actually got Yahoo to support it with push email for free from Yahoo. And it does support IMAP. So if you have Exchange supports IMAP. So if you have an Exchange server configured with the IMAP extension, it'll work with that. So, yes, it is there, but I don't think they're aiming at the enterprise. I really don't.
We'll get to the Mac stuff later. I don't want to get off too far there, but, you know, he rather... Robert? Well, let's wait on that one. I was talking about Steve Jobs. Let me wait on that. I mean, because I think there are actually lots of advantages to Windows Mobile phones for people who use them for work that just are not going to be met by...
I mean, one thing there's no Windows... Office, I mean, Microsoft Office support built in the iPhone, at least that we know of. In fact, there's some question about whether the iPhone will support third-party applications. I certainly hope it will, but at least one Apple spokesperson at the booth told me that it won't.
Yeah, I heard it would not.
Yeah, it does support PDF, but I mean, converting your spreadsheets to PDF is not a solution for Windows users.
No. I think that's going to evolve over time. I mean, right now, you know, this is foot in the market. Right, foot in the door.
It is very much the first shot, and an impressive one. I mean, I think a lot of people will want one.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And I think it's where Apple succeeds the best is in user interface and industrial design.
Microsoft's marketing term for Vista at CES was the wow starts now. Uh-huh. You know, and they have these posters with a Vista logo. It says, when you see it, you're going to say it. You know, but I think the real wow, you know, is when you see something like the iPhone.
Yeah, I think people aren't even saying wow. They're just jaws dropping and that's about it. We shot some video. I hope it shows up. It probably will on twit.tv. We're doing so much video all week long on it. Mm-hmm. But we shot some video. They only have two iPhones at the show floor and they're in bell jars, so you can't touch them. But we shot video of it actually literally is a bunch of people standing around in a circle with their jaw, with their mouths open, looking at the thing. It's kind of weird. There's this kind of strange sensation that people are awed by it.
I was at the Louvre one time, and there's a famous statue. I think it's
is it David?
Venus
or Venus de Milo?
Venus de Milo with the arms, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm standing in front of it and I'm taking pictures of it, and then I realized there was no one on the backside, so I went around the back, and what I got was a great picture of these people. Well, not the rear end, but
I was going in a different direction. Went the wrong way. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I went around the backside, and in some ways, the people gaping at this thing, the huge crowd of people in front of it,
fascinating,
were more interesting than the thing itself. So
I would like to see that picture, because I warrant if we match it up to the pictures of people staring, very similar looks.
What if it's the same people?
Maybe. Actually, we just got word that Cisco has decided to sue Apple over the name iPhone.
Oh, yikes.
So apparently it wasn't cleared. They hadn't negotiated anything. They just took it. They have the trademark worldwide. Apple has a trademark worldwide everywhere except the U.S.
I see.
And Linksys has it in the U.S.
I was curious they didn't just sell it as the Apple phone.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. It certainly has the Apple logo on it. It's there.
Yeah,
it's clearly an Apple phone. Yeah. Well, we covered Macworld in great detail. I don't think we need to cover it here, unless you think that there's something to be said in connection with the contrast between CES and Macworld.
Yeah. Well, two things. I would say, like I said earlier, one is that Steve Jobs gave what I thought would be a fantastic CES keynote. He only talked about consumer electronics devices. Right. He did so in a way that was far more exciting than Bill Gates has ever managed to be. And, you know, I'm talking about working a crowd, right? I mean, my God, great. I thought people were going to start speaking in tongues or something.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
he's great at that.
insane.
You know,
well,
but it wasn't in the sense that usually a CES keynote will at least try to sew these things up into a larger concept. And he did not make any attempt to position these products or position Apple.
No.
He's done that in the past. I've seen him do it in the past. But he didn't do it this time, which is kind of interesting.
Well, and that's actually ties into what I just said, because both of those devices, the Apple TV, which is a set-top box, and the iPhone, which is their smartphone or whatever you want to call that, a three-in-one device, both work equally well on Windows with Windows as they do
that's
with the Mac.
Right.
And I find that a little I'm sort of a Mac fan. I find that a little scary because, you know, I think the iPhone could have warranted a separate event and that maybe Macworld could have been a little bit more about the Mac.
Somebody sent me an email saying they're going to rename it. It ain't Macworld.
Well, you remember this, I'm sure. It used to be called Apple World. And the Apple IIe guys were freaking out when they changed it to Macworld back in the 1980s. And I used to go there, you know, and buy stuff from my 2GS in Boston, you know, when they had Apple World.
Well, and Apple's dropped the word computer from its corporate name. So I think that the writing's on the wall. And somebody asked me at an event, I was speaking at the Macworld booth, does this mean that computers, you know, there will be, what happens to the Mac? The Mac's not going away. I actually asked exactly the same question of Craig Barrett 3 or 4 years ago at a CES, saying, you know, he's a chairman of Intel, a former chairman of Intel. Is the computer going away? And he said, absolutely not. It's still the hub in all of these devices. And I think that that's the case as well with computers, with Vista, with OS X. It's not, it can't go away. It's what's doing all the work.
Well, you know, you wonder though, on the Apple end, it kind of could go away eventually. I find it odd that they have divided their business into four products, and two of them were just announced.
Right.
You know, Mac, iPod, iPhone, Apple TV.
Yeah, interesting.
Yikes. You know,
that's a very interesting point. I hadn't really thought of that, but you're right.
Three of those don't require the first one, you know, necessarily. I mean, obviously they require iTunes, but that's on the Windows platform.
What Steve said when he announced ITV at the Showtime event last September was Apple in your living room, Apple in your pocket. I think it was Apple in your office, Apple in your living room, Apple in your pocket, and maybe I don't know where else it could go. But that's the idea is, and remember, that was that was what Microsoft used to say, a computer
in every home,
in every home running Windows or running Microsoft software.
It's almost communist slogan.
Yeah. Sounds like, was it Huey Long who said a chicken in every pot? I have to say that it makes sense nowadays for a technology company to branch out from computers. These are all really little computers. I mean, Apple TV is a computer.
I agree.
Computer.
Look, Dell sells widescreen TVs. You know, they're one of the biggest computer makers in the world. So does HP.
Yeah.
You know, so two more thoughts, just, I mean, sort of around this theme, you know, one is I was looking forward to seeing what Apple was going to do to compete with Vista. And they didn't offer anything up. I mean, this was their chance.
About it.
They could have preempted all this Vista press coverage with, here's the beautiful new Leopard user interface. Here are all those secret features we promised. Here's a new version of iLife, which, by the way, continues to blow away everything that's available on Windows. And I thought it was sort of a opportunity lost. I mean,
here's
the
thinking on that.
Shipping.
I've talked to a lot of people. There are two schools of thought. One, Steve didn't want to detract from the big announcement. They've said many times that we don't have to just announce stuff at Macworld anymore. We can announce it, you know, all the time. And they've been kind of showing that. We'll put out a new product anytime we want to. Why does it have to be at Macworld? So that's one school of thought. I think the actual truth is neither iLife nor Leopard are ready.
I think you're right.
I think they're much farther off than
that tells me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, you know, this you might recall last August when they were talking about Leopard originally, everyone was saying, well, first it was, you know, Leopard's going to ship before Vista. Well, Leopard will ship around the same time as Vista. Well, Leopard will ship just after Vista. Yeah. I'm beginning to wonder if Leopard isn't going to ship, you know, well after.
They promised it in first quarter, but I think they may slip on this.
Yeah.
Which tells you how ambitious Leopard is. And it also, I think, indicates that iLife is very closely tied to Leopard. That it is that is part of the operating system. Now, Steve was using a new version of Keynote. I talked to a couple of Keynote experts who said it doesn't look. It's a newer version
the,
of Keynote.
The pie charts and so forth were
exploding letters.
Different textures and so forth.
Craig Severson, who's probably the best Keynote guy I know, said, no, that's not the Keynote you and I know. So iWork is in progress. We've heard lots of rumors about a spreadsheet. I just think it's tied to Leopard, and I think both Leopard and iLife. I've talked to a number of developers now. In fact, somebody on the who apparently has some inside information on the iLife team that, that neither product is close to finish. So,
well, that's never stopped them from shipping them before, Leo. But
well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Now, come on. Now, I think Apple's pretty good about not shipping products prematurely.
I kid. I'm a kidder.
You're a kidder. And you bet that you absolutely bet, are right. They would love to shove it in Microsoft's face with something better than Vista. I just don't think they can, or they would. They don't have it. And they certainly don't want to get a drumbeat going for a product that's 6 months off. If they know they're going to slip or have a feeling they're going to slip, they will be very quiet all of a sudden. And that's exactly what happened. They don't want people saying, hey, where is it? Where is it?
Yeah. You know, I've been blogging a lot about this Macworld stuff, and a lot of people are sort of taking it the wrong way. You know, oh, you can't wait to criticize Apple. You know, guys, I wanted some cool Mac stuff. I was looking forward to ordering iLife today.
There is disappointment. It's funny how there's a little bit of disappointment.
Or yesterday.
You can't buy the iPhone. You can't buy the Apple TV. You can't buy the AirPort Extreme.
Right.
You can't go to the Apple store today and buy anything brand new.
I mean, just right. So last September at that Showtime event or whatever it was called, he said, you know, we don't usually announce things ahead of time, but here's iTV. And then here they are again announcing Apple phone ahead of time. Right. And it's a little.
Well, I understand the Apple phone issue. And he was pretty clear about that. It has to do with FCC approval. There's no.
Right. And I bought that. I
wish I'd thought of it. If I had just used my noggin, I would have realized a week ago they can't ship it because they haven't gone through approval process yet.
Right.
Same thing
right.
with the Apple TV. They have to get FCCB approval.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't ship it.
Sure.
And the minute you apply for approval on a new cell phone, it's public. So
right, right.
They couldn't apply early. So they really this is exactly the time.
That's believable.
Yeah.
The other thing is too, you know, remember that you know for a comparatively small show, you know, Macworld commands as much press coverage as seems as does CES.
Isn't that funny? I mean, what did I see on the front page of every newspaper in the country today?
iPhone.
It wasn't the Sling Catcher. Wasn't Vista. It was the iPhone.
But what's interesting is, you know, CES by definition is always about the future of technology. I mean, you're not going to see anything at CES that's going to go on sale next month.
Well, look at the Windows Home Server. I mean, I got to wait. I want that now.
Right. But that's not, but this is by design, right? I mean, this every single year, every product that's touted at CES is literally aimed at next holiday season.
Right.
So, you know, Apple's competing with that, and there's no reason they can't stretch out the delivery time on what they're talking about. But like I said, I think Macworld should turn in, they should fold it into CES, and he should do the keynote, and I'm serious. It would be wonderful. And, you know, like you said, they can announce products anytime, anywhere, and there's no reason for Apple to.
Apple hasn't been at CES in years, and I think it's probably time Apple returns to CES.
They would dominate it.
They're a consumer electronics company. There is there is no question about it.
Right.
Why aren't they at CES is a better question.
There you go.
Well, I really appreciate your analysis, and it's been fascinating. We knew there would be kind of a tug of war for attention between CES and Macworld. Mm-hmm. It has materialized. I'm sure that we'll hear lots more about things trickling out of CES over the next couple of days. I thank you, Paul Theriot, and we will rejoin. I won't be in town next week. I'll be in Canada, so in 2 weeks we'll be back together again.
Sounds good.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.